Turn our Bible to 1 Corinthians. We're going to ask ourselves ask you an important question. What kind of person are you? What kind of a person are you? We're going to look at this passage of Scripture this morning. We realize that the Bible tells us there are a number of different kinds of people. Now, when I was growing up, my dad said there was only two kinds of people. When I was growing up, my dad said there were the Welsh and those that wished they were Welsh. But that's not biblical. But the Bible tells us there are some different kinds of people. And we want to start... our explanation of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 along that line. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to look at the first kind of person the Bible talks about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, in the context, what are the things of the Spirit of God? It's talking about the revealed, inspired scriptures. The Bible tells us in this context, verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, man, in his natural state, knows nothing about God. About salvation, what the Bible says about prophecy. You know, what is right, what is wrong. Now they have a conscience, but, you know, God revealed perfectly the truth to us in the Bible. And you and I would not know what the truth is except that God revealed it. And God revealed the perfect truth. And now what happens, we talked about this, the Bible says in chapter 1, it says that the world by wisdom knew not God. In fact, I was just reading about the Mayans today, yesterday or the day before, and they figured out that there's this young maybe you read about it, this young Canadian boy about 15 years old that's a genius, scientific genius. And he was at a science fair, and he was next to some scientists from the Canadian NSA department. And this fella recognized that this young man was a scientific genius. And he said, hey, I'd like you to spend... We invite you to spend some time at our lab at their headquarters. And so he said, oh, boy, well, that's great. He says, when I get there, this is what I want to do. He says, I want to use your space technology of locating things on the Earth. And he said, you know, the Mayans worshipped the stars. And they built their civilizations in the most unbelievable places. Some of them in the middle of a desert, and et cetera, et cetera. And he had it figured out that the Mayans located all their cities according to the constellations. And he figured out that there's one major constellation whose major star there was no corresponding Mayan city that had been discovered. And so he used his mathematics and he says, this is where that city should be, according to that star and that constellation and how the Mayans located their cities. And he says, so let's look at the Google Earth map. And let's pinpoint that spot. And pinpointed that spot, looked on Google Earth, sure enough. All the signs of a Mayan city that had been covered over by the jungle. Huge, huge city. And amazing. These people, brilliant, but they worshiped the stars. Just a created entity in the universe. And how do they worship them? They worship them by sacrificing their children. And someone said at prayer meeting yesterday, says, isn't it interesting? These people sacrificed children and sacrificed themselves, you know. But the world by wisdom knew not God. That's the natural man. The natural man, the Bible means the natural man is a person who has not been saved. You see, we're born, by natural birth, we are sinners. And by natural birth, we are spiritually dead. By natural birth, we do not understand the things of the Spirit of God. We do not understand the Bible because we're spiritually dead. Ephesians 2, verse 1 tells us we were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the natural man. You know, talking about this, isn't it funny? see how this fits into our message, into the text. There's a big church called Willow Creek Church in Illinois. Probably one of the founding churches of the mega church movement. And they went to all the unsaved people in that neighborhood and they said, what do you want in a church? Tell us what kind of music you want. Tell us what you want in the church service. Tell us how long you want the message. Tell us what kind of entertainment you want. And so they went to all these unsaved people. The Bible calls them the natural man. They're unsaved. They're born sinners. They don't know God. They can't understand the Bible. They don't. The Bible is foolishness to them. And he says, now, you tell us what you want, and we'll start a church just like that. And that's what they did. That's their church. That's the model of the mega church movement. That's why they have the music they have. That's why they have the entertainment they have. That's why they have the short messages. That's why it's only an hour long. Because these unsaved people told them, this is how long we want it. Unsaved people says, we don't want preaching that preaches against sin. We don't want preaching that is convicting. We don't want preaching that makes you think. We just want to feel good when we come to church. We just want to feel good. And so the mega churches, that's how they do it. Why? Because they asked a natural man what kind of church you want. Interesting, isn't it? Well, the natural man, the Bible says, because he's unsaved, it says he receives not the things of the Spirit of God. What is he talking about? They don't receive the truth of the Bible. Okay, so let's turn back to, keep your finger there. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is in contrast to the natural man. The Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Okay? So what does that mean? They don't believe the Bible. They don't can't understand the Bible. They can't discern what the Bible is saying. Now look at for John chapter 10 and verse 27. Here's the saved man. Here's the saved man. And Jesus called saved people sheep. It says in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." But notice the descriptive phrase, verse 27, about the sheep. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, here's the setting. So, the shepherds all brought their sheep into this sheepfold at night, protect them from the wolves. And the shepherd of each fold would come to the sheepfold and, you know, and maybe they just say, "Follow me." The sheep knew their shepherd's voice. And so the shepherd would say, "Come." And the porter would open the gate and they'd all come at his voice. Well, that's the setting, you know, the background that. And Jesus was teaching a spiritual truth. It says, "My sheep, my spiritual children, they hear my voice. I know who they are. They know who I am. They know my voice. They aren't going to hear somebody else's voice. And when they hear my voice, they're going to follow me." So what is it saying? It's saying that in contrast to a natural man, the saved man, the sheep, hear this book. They can understand this book. They value this book. God speaks to their heart through this book. See, the natural man, I remember being a natural man. You heard the story. Eighth grade, we had a reading contest. And they got points by reading all these great classics. I read them all. But there's one at the top that I wanted to read. And it got the most points for reading it. It was the Bible. And here in eighth grade, I read all the classics. Jane Eyre, Moby Dick. Tale of Two Cities. I mean, the whole list. I don't know, 20, 30, 40 of those classics. They're big, some of them. And they're kind of a little bit. But I said, I want to get the most points. I won this contest. I open up the Bible. I said, forget that. Forget that. It was, might as well have been reading hieroglyphics, really. Meant nothing to me. Because I was unsaved. I didn't know what its message meant. I mean, I knew some, I could read the words, but I don't know what it meant. I was a natural man. And you know, natural man, the Bible, it's foolishness unto him. You know, the Bible says, you know, this kind of clothing you shouldn't wear. This kind of clothing you shouldn't wear. That's foolishness. That is foolishness. Foolishness. Bible says it. People say, "That's foolishness." What did Jesus say? "My sheep hear my voice." Oh, what does the Bible say about that? I want to know what the Bible says about that. I want to know what God says. You know why I want to know what God says? Because I want to obey it. Huh? You see, there's natural people, unsaved. They might be religious. They might be church members. They might have went to church all their life. They may have even went to a Baptist church. But they're never saved. And the Bible, that's foolishness. Yeah, no one's going to tell me how to live. Right? Foolishness. That's the natural man. The saved man. Saved man, they hear his voice. We were talking about this in Sunday school. What does it mean, hear his voice? Well, you know, your mother gives you something to do. And she checks up on you. And you didn't do it. And she said, didn't you hear what I said? Didn't you hear what I said? Well, of course they heard what you said, sort of. But they didn't do it, right? That's what the Bible word hear means. You do it. You know, there's a lot of fake Christians out there. They know what the Bible says, but they don't do it. You know, one of the great, I have a great book in my library. You could probably buy it for $100 nowadays. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, Lexicon of the Old Testament. Man, I tell you what, you go in that book, and you can learn a lot. But you know what? Brown, Driver, and Briggs, they could tell you a lot about what the Bible says, but they didn't live it because they weren't saved. You see, it's not knowing what, so to speak, what the words are. The Bible says the natural man says it's foolishness. Foolishness. And when you get saved, it's not foolishness anymore. Amen. When you get saved, this is the word of God. This is the word of Jesus. This is what the truth is. I want to do it. I want to hear it. I want to know what it says. I don't care if it's going to cost me something. I don't care if it's going to change my life. That's what I want. You see? There's the difference. And you know, people need to realize, okay, what's the characteristics of a natural man? Things of God, they're foolishness. Foolishness. You say you're saved, but you call things of God what it really says, foolishness? Wait a minute. Shake that up a little bit. Two plus two equals four. You call things the word of God that you don't like, you call them foolishness? You think, oh, I'm saved? Well, what does the Bible say? Maybe we better do some checking around here. Maybe do some real checking. See if there's been a real birth or not. Now, if we are saved, and we say those kind of things, boy, right then we know we ought to repent. Amen? Right then we know we've been listening to the wrong information. And we better get it out of our life. So, we got the natural man. They're unsaved. They're born sinners. Can't understand the Bible. They think it's foolishness. It's crazy. You know, a little religion is okay, but that's it. Then you got the saved person. They're the sheep. They love the Bible. They want to hear what it says. They want to obey it. Because they love the Savior. They've been born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because we need a new birth. We're born sinners. We're born dead in sin. We need to have a new life. And it's real. It's not just religion. It's real new life. Yeah. I mean, how did a person like me get to thinking that Bible is a bunch of foolishness, to saying, boy, that's the greatest book in the world. Well, you get saved. So we have the natural man, and we have the saved man. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren. Now he's talking to saved people, calls them brothers, brothers in Christ. And says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Okay, so now we find that the Bible says there's two kind of Christians. He says he was hoping they would be spiritual Christians. But he's saddened to find out that they're saved, but they're carnal Christians. Well, what's the difference? Now we find out there's two kinds of Christians. What is a carnal Christian? You know, you have carnivorous beasts. That's flesh-eating beasts. Right? It's the word carnal. You have carnival. You know? Carnival. What does it mean? Appeals to the flesh. You know? Carnival. You have carnal. It's the Greek word fleshly. Fleshly. A fleshly Christian. A fleshly Christian. A fleshly Christian is fleshly. About the flesh. I mean, you can put that a lot of different ways. You have to say, here's a Christian who is dressing immodestly. Well, they're fleshly. They're carnal. But it goes more than that. It means a Christian who is living in the realm of the flesh. So in chapter 1, he said, the world by wisdom knew not God. He says, you got a problem, Corinthians. You're bringing worldly thinking into the church. And worldly thinking has no place in the church. Worldly thinking is the kind of thinking that put Jesus on the cross. Worldly thinking is the kind of thinking that built the Parthenon in Greece, and then they worshiped idols that they made out of stone and out of wood and covered with gold. That's earthly thinking. He says there's carnal Christians. They're, I guess we could put it another way, is they're Christians, but they aren't acting like Christians. They aren't living like Christians. They're not empowered and led by the Spirit of God. They are selfish Christians. Self-centered Christians. Walking in the flesh. So you turn to Galatians chapter 5. It says in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." The word flesh is the word carnal. "Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft." Of course, that's the word pharmakia, drugs. "Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling," that's partying, "and such like." All right? So here's the flesh. This is a kind of fruits of the flesh. Well, a carnal Christian is one who is fleshly. They're walking in the power of their flesh. Now notice what it, and we'll get back to that. Then he says, "I wish you were spiritual." I wish you were spiritual. I wish you were, instead of living in the realm of the flesh, I wish you were living in the realm of the Spirit. A spiritual Christian. So, a Christian can be fleshly, carnal. A Christian can be spiritual, living under the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, everybody here is either, if you're saved, everybody here is one of the four categories. It has to be at least two of the, one or more of the categories. You got to be saved or unsaved. If you're unsaved, you need to be saved. You're living without being born again. And the things of the Bible, oh boy. If you're saved, you know the Bible is true. That Jesus is the Savior. You received Him. You love Him. He's your Savior, Lord. And you know what the Bible says is true. You don't call it foolishness. Because you know it's the Bible. You might not always like what it says, but you don't call it foolishness. And you don't just laugh at it. Because you know it's the truth. But a Christian can be carnal. A Christian can be living in the power of the flesh. And the Bible tells us that a Christian can also be living the way they ought, in the power of the Spirit. Okay, now let's notice what it says about the carnal Christian. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes." A babe, a baby. Okay. Man, just think of it. Nice, you know, T-bone steak, grilled on the grill, you know, about an inch thick, you know. Oh, you know, and you smell that. Isn't it bad, you know, I bet you, Sam, you do this. You're working in a neighborhood, cutting a lawn or what, somebody's got the grill going. And you smell that. Oh, man. You know? Okay. Let's see. I know somebody here that, who's got a brand new baby in that nursery? Who's got a brand new baby in that nursery? Oh, you got a little baby in the nursery, right? Kinda. How old is that baby? 8 months. Anybody got one 3 months? Huh? Who? Oh, the Turners, they aren't here. Okay. What's her name? Heidi? Oh, Mariah, yeah, that's a good name. Hey, let's bring Mariah right up here, you know. And let's bring Mariah right up here and let's just offer her that steak. Not interested. You know? Cut a big hunk off of there. Put it on a fork and feed it to her. Don't want it. Doesn't want that wonderful, juicy taste. No! I don't want it! Why? Baby. Baby. Can't eat it. Can't digest it. Doesn't want it. Bible says that a carnal Christian is like a baby. There's a whole part of the truth of the Bible they don't get. They don't get it. They can only get the basics, like pray. Should pray. And we should pray. Only the basics. But beyond that, they don't get it. You know, there's a big difference between a baby and an adult. Did you know that? You know, a baby has to be given everything. They have to be given their food. They have to be given their clothing. They can't even change themselves. You know? They don't know how to change themselves. They don't even know to change themselves. They don't know how. They're a baby. You know, you got to carry them around. You know, they can't even get their blankie themselves. They're a baby. You got to do everything for them. They're a baby. What about an adult? You know what an adult does? They live for others. They live for others. That's right. Their whole life is about others. Early in the morning, there's the baby crying. Oh, I tell you what, right in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, yeah! Why don't you just be quiet? Grow up! No, why don't you grow up? They need you. Go feed them. You know what an adult does? My baby needs me. I'm going to feed that baby. I'm the mama. And you know what? Broken night of sleep. And the rest of the kids get up 6 o'clock. Oh, sunshine. Hey, Mom. Time for breakfast. Go back to bed. No. Guess what? 6 o'clock. They need breakfast. Okay. Here's breakfast. You know, get it yourself. No. Here's breakfast. Oh. You know what? They're not old enough to wash the dishes without breaking them. So they got to wash the dishes too. And then there's lunch. Right after that. And you know what? The baby needs to be changed. Oh, baby, hungry again. Now we're going to have lunch. Here's the crowd. Making lunch. Oh, now we got to clean this mess up. And you know what? Whew. I hope the kids go take a nap. I'm really tired. Well, Dad's going to be coming home pretty soon. And you know what? He's going to be worked all day. And you know what? I need to make him a nice meal. And you know, we're going to have this cleaned up a little bit around here because we don't want them to just come to disaster. So let's get this done. Dad's coming. We're going to have a nice meal for Dad. You know, he's going to, you know, be glad to be home. And, that was in between 3 or 4 different spankings and all of that, you know. And then Dad comes home, you know, and he eats his big meal in 10 minutes, you know. And he goes sit in the couch, you know, and because he's tired and all these dishes. Oh, and the wash. The wash. Okay, time for wash. You know what? That's growing up. It's all about others. It's all about others. Not about me. But you know, a baby, it's all about them. It's all about them. That's why it calls them carnal. They're selfish. They don't care about other people. They don't care about the effect of their life, their testimony on other people. They don't care. They don't care about their effect on the church. They don't care. They're babies. Spiritual. They're yielded to God. They have God's power. And certainly nobody's perfect. Well, we have bad, our moments that we're growing. But you know what? We can do those diapers with joy. We can do those dishes with joy. We can discipline those children with joy. We can make the meal for Dad with joy. We can do it with joy because you know why? It's not about us. It's about God. You see? The carnal person, it's about them. The spiritual person, it's about God. God. You know, I'm washing these dishes for God. Huh. Amen? I'm washing these dishes for God. That's why the feminists don't have a clue. They don't have any clue about life. Because they don't understand what the spiritual life is all about. Now, so it says they're like babies. They're like babies. They're like babies with the Bible. Right over their head. You know, go tell that baby, Mrs. Henning, go tell that baby about how, just tell them, you know, about how to make breakfast. Don't get it, do they? They're babies. And so now it says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, verse 2, because hitherto you're not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. You know what it's saying? It's saying there's a whole part of the Bible I don't get. They don't get it. You can't preach it to them because they won't get it. They don't understand it. It's not that they can't, but they don't want to. They're babies. They're all about them. And you gotta feed them milk. Somehow they just gotta keep maintained somehow. Because it's all about them. But you know, verse 3 tells us something else. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Envy. I don't even know how to exactly illustrate that, but envy. You know how it is? You're a school teacher, you know how it is. Especially if you're a Christian school teacher. If you're a Christian school teacher and you have a student in a typical kind of not so good Christian school, you have the teacher and you have one student. And they say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And they always do what the teacher says. You know what? There's a lot of kids. They don't like them. They don't like them. They don't like them. They don't. They have something to say about him. They say, teacher's pet. Teacher's pet. They don't have any idea what they get away with. They sure do. They're everybody in that class is a sinner. Teacher's pet. You know what? That kind of envy, isn't it? That's carnal. Carnal. Strife. Strife. You know, strife is one person's going this way and one person's going this way. I remember the twins used to do that. That's what they did for entertainment. You didn't know that, Lisa. When they were little, they would get in the living room. At 3 years old, I think it was. And one would get at that end of the room, and that would end, would get at that room, and they'd run as fast as they could right into each other. And they'd find out who was the toughest, you know. At least it wasn't malicious, but, you know, strife. You know, fighting against authority. Fighting, resisting. Fighting. You're not my friend, you're my enemy. It says divisions. Divisions. Oh, this is this little group that gets invited to this house. This person doesn't get invited there. Nope. Just this crowd gets invited there. But nobody from over here, nope, they don't get invited here. Just this crowd gets here. Just that crowd. It's called Christian carnality. Not Christian fellowship. Christian carnality. Now notice. Now there's some other kind of people in this chapter. Next person we have are errand boys. Yeah, next person we have are errand boys. Verse 5. For it says, for one saith, I am of Paul, another says, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe. You know what that word minister is? It's the word diakonos. You know what it means? Errand boy. Errand boy. Apostle Paul says, you know who I am? I'm an errand boy. You know, just think about this. He's saying, you're saying, I'm of Paul. And you're saying, I'm of Apollos. Somehow that makes you spiritual. You can live the way you want, but somehow that makes you spiritual. You know what I mean? You know, I got saved at this such and such church. And I got saved at that. Well, so? That mean you can live the way you want? No. But notice, Paul says, let's get down to reality. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers? Aaron boys. Okay, so I thought I'd figure to tell you how this is. So you go down to Blue Bay Restaurant. And you know, it doesn't matter the food. Doesn't matter. You know, doesn't matter if the meat is 3 weeks old. Doesn't matter if it got burnt, you know. Because, you know, you don't go to Blue Bay for the food. You go to Blue Bay because what's the guy called that picks up the food, your table app? The what? The busboy. I go to Blue Bay because of the busboy. That's why I go there. The busboy. You know, the food can be rotten. It can be burnt. It can be, you know, priced totally wrong. But that doesn't matter. You know, I got sick there 3 times. But it doesn't matter because I go to Blue Bay because of the busboy. That's ridiculous. Right? Ridiculous. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, who am I? And who is Apollos? We're just busboys. Going to this restaurant isn't about the busboys, it's about the food. He says, and this church isn't about the busboys. This church is about God. It's about God. Isn't that what he's saying? We're just busboys of God. Now, think about that. I was trying to figure out how could we say it so it fits? I think it's pretty, there's ways to say it. So, I knew this fellow, he had a job in church. And somebody else in the church did something was wrong. And we had to deal with it. Best we could. And he said, basically, that's it, I'm gone. I come to this church because of the busboys. I don't come to this church because of God. I don't come to this church because of what's right. I don't come to this church because of what the Bible says. I come to this church because of people. No, you come to church because of God. You know, a number of years ago, my dad passed away. And the hardest part about my dad passing away was on a holiday, Memorial Day. And we had a work day that day. And we were remodeling the mission house. I had to be there. I was leading the project. Tearing out that whole kitchen. A couple boards left in the whole floor. I had to build a new floor. And I was there, and I was in my heart, I was saying, I really don't want to be here. I know it's a holiday. I need to go see my dad. But I need to be here. And that afternoon, I got a call. My dad had died. You know, when it came to Wednesday night, I was at church. My heart was heavy. You know, you only lose your dad once, and you've lost him. Many of you experienced that. And Sunday, you know, I was here. I had to preach. You know, I'll be honest with you. I never even crossed my mind one second that I wasn't going to be in church because my dad died, because my heart was heavy. You know, because I don't come to church for those reasons. I come to church because church is about God. That's the person we worship. We worship God. God didn't die. He's still alive. He's still alive. He's still on the throne. That's who I come to worship. My heart is heavy, yeah. But that's not who I worship, my heart or my family. I worship God. No matter what happens, God. That's what he's saying. Paul said, what do you get into all this about people? Not people. We're just errand boys. It's God. Now, the second thing, and we'll try to make this quick here. The second thing is, we're back on number, we're on number four, five, six. We're vessels for God. Vessels for God. Notice what he said. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth increase. He said, I have planted and polished watered, but God gave the increase. You know, we're just vessels. It's the word of God. That's the seed of the gospel. It's the word of God that brings faith. It's the word of God that brings the new birth. We're just supposed to be the vessel. That's our job. A vessel. Paul says, I'm not the big thing. I'm just a vessel. You know what I mean? If you're a farmer, it's hot, hot summer day. Oh, man, it's hot. If you're a real farmer, not a safe slicker. Really hot, hot summer day. And you say, oh, man, all I want is a nice, cold glass of real milk. So you go in the garage, and you find a glass that's been sitting out there 3 years. Got a little bit of oil stain in it, a little paint. You know, maybe the bird nest was above. And you take that glass and you just, you put that nice milk in there and, no. Now it's important to have a clean glass. But you didn't drink the glass. You drank the milk. And Paul says, yeah, it's important to have a clean vessel. It's important. You know, God has to use somebody. We were available. Somebody has to be the one who witnesses. A vessel is one that's available. A vessel is someone that doesn't change defile the thing that it's carrying. It's clean. And it does not attack the purity of the message. We're just vessels. Well, that's an important thing, isn't it? Be a vessel. You know, that play just really stuck with me, these kids. 280 million unsaved people in America. 280 million unsaved people in America. The easiest mission field in the world. You know what they need? They need the Word of God. But someone has to be a vessel. He said to these Corinthians, don't worship the vessel. Now the vessel is necessary, but we don't worship the vessel. We don't get all mixed up on the vessel. It's the contents. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God that people need. And God needs people who are willing to take out the Word of God and give people the Bible. He says, don't worship the vessel. Worship the God who uses the vessel. And so, the last one, we'll have to close here because it says, you're co-laborers with Christ. Partners with God. R.J. Letourneau wrote a book, I'm trying to remember its title. But he always used to preach the message, God and I are partners. God and I are partners. I supply the labor. God supplies the blessing. God supplies the power. God supplies the increase. It says, me and God are partners. You know, R.J. Letourneau, he's a brilliant man. Still, his inventions are ahead of today. But R.J. Letourneau had a business, and big construction business, earth-moving business. And he came to a point in his early Christian life, he said, well, I got too many bills, I'm not going to tithe. He went millions and millions in the hole. And he got to the bottom, he's going to about lose everything. He said, I stopped having God as my partner. And look at what happened, I did it on my own. He said, God, that's it. I'm starting to tithe right now. Even with millions of dollars in debt. God was his partner. He got to one place in his business where he said to his wife, well, you know, God has blessed us so much. I think that, and we have this Letourneau Foundation. I think we ought to tithe to the foundation, plus we ought to tithe to the Lord in our church. His wife said, you know what? What are we going to do with all that money? I think we ought to tithe 90% of our profit to our Christian foundation. And, no, he says, we ought to tithe 10%, and then what's left over, we ought to tithe what's left over 90% to the Lord. Again. And they had so much money left over, they didn't know what to do. You know why? Read it in his book, he said, because God was my partner. God was my partner. And that's what Paul says. We labor together with God. We're not fighting against God. We're not throwing God away. We're working together with God. Co-laborer. Partners with God. Other great truths here. But you got to fit into one of those categories. Maybe today, you're unsaved, you need to become a sheep. That's a great day. Maybe you're here today and you're already a sheep, but you know what? You're a carnal sheep. That's not good. Read the rest of the chapter. What happens at judgment day for a carnal Christian? You need to become a spiritual person, walking in the power of the Spirit. And then he's talking about spiritual people. Spiritual people are errand boys for God. They do what he says, when he says, where he says, no big deal. They're errand boys. He says spiritual people are vessels. Spiritual people are partners with God. Certainly, somewhere along this line, the Spirit of God would have something for us that would encourage us in our walk with God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for the great truths of the Bible. We thank you that you're the living God. And Lord, we realize that you said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And Lord, we've laid out part of that plan right here in this chapter. The difference between abundant life and an empty life. Abundant life and a carnal life. A life that has reward versus a life that has no reward. And Lord, now I pray that you'll help your people to hear the word of God and allow your Spirit to apply it to their precious soul. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's start at the very end. You say, you know what? God.